Welcome to Luke 21 Radio, a broadcast explaining biblical prophecy in the tradition of St. Augustine. And now, from Greenville, South Carolina, here's your host, Steve Wood.
Hello, this is Steve Wood, and welcome to Luke 21. We're going to study biblical prophecy by looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're looking today at the rapture and the trumpet of God. Let's look at that text again. For this we declare to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming or the parousia of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together or raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Now, we have been talking about the rapture, which is basically an English word derived from a Latin word, derived from the Greek word found in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4. Many of our English Bibles will simply say being caught up in the air, but that word itself doesn't have a whole lot of descriptions what happens after you're caught up. And I'd like to throw up a couple of diagrams that should be extremely helpful to you in visualizing the two views we have been talking about. The one view is a term, for not a better term I can think of, is the pre-tribulation view. And that view we're going to put up. And by the way, if you're listening on radio or audio podcast, Luke21.com is almost finished. It almost will be up, and we're going to be including these diagrams on Luke21.com, so help yourself there. But you see, in this diagram, it's a time period of 7 years, a seven-year final tribulation. And in the pre-tribulation view is pre or before the tribulation, the rapture occurs. And when I was at Calvary Chapel, I was taught that there will be a secret rapture with Christ coming for his church that goes up into heaven and then stays there for 7 years. And then Christ comes again with his church. Again, that's what I was told at the second coming. And that's what is termed the pre-tribulation rapture view. What I've been trying to show is that if you take verse 17 by itself, you can take it pretty much to mean just about everything. But if you look at the context, and particularly keeping the words like parousia or the word for coming of the Lord and the words for meeting the Lord, we've already done that, what that means. Then we have a second diagram showing you, and this I would term the simultaneous view. And the simultaneous view has three events, or actually it's a single event, but three parts of it, what we call the rapture or being caught up, the resurrection. In other words, those who are dead will rise in bodily form to meet Christ in the air, and then we who are alive and living will be caught up and transformed, and there will be completed the second coming of Christ. He comes down from heaven. But unlike the pre-tribulation view, this all happens at the end of the tribulation. And so, again, looking at this second diagram, what we call the rapture or the resurrection, we go out to meet the incoming dignitary. Again, the idea of a meeting or a parousia was very common in the Greek world. In Thessalonica, you would have to look in a dictionary for a parousia. It's when a great general, a Caesar, or a great leader would come and the leading citizens would go out to meet the incoming ruler or general and then proceed back into the city. So, in other words, this will happen quite rapidly, and there's no seven-year gap. but it does come after a tribulation, and nobody wants to suffer for Christ. So the other has a very strong emotional appeal, but is it correct? I don't think so. And here's something that why there will never, ever be a secret rapture like I was taught there would be. And it's just found in verse 16. It's triple emphasized. It says there's going to be a great sound. In my understanding, this could possibly be as loud as the Big Bang that physicists tell us about, or even louder. It says the cry of command, one, the archangel's call, two, and the archangel calling with the sound of the trumpet of God. And these three, it's talking about this great blast that's so loud, it awakens the dead. It's anything but secret. This is the most noticeable event in human history because humans, I understand, weren't here with the Big Bang. So this would be the loudest thing that humans have ever heard. So it's anything but secret. Now, in addition to that, there's a companion passage where not only St. Paul is describing this, but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, actually described this same event. Now, the folks that are advocates of the pre-tribulation rapture view will tell you, oh, don't go to Matthew 24 and listen to Jesus about this stuff because he's not talking about the rapture. Well, I think he is, because if the rapture, the resurrection, the trumpet of God, and the second coming are all simultaneous events, then it's worth you spending 5 minutes in Matthew 24 and seeing for yourself if these aren't companion passages, or maybe they're not. But if it's talking about the same thing, Matthew 24 has something very important to say. And this is one of the reasons they'll tell you not to go to Matthew 24. I'm starting in verse 29. Jesus Christ speaking, this is what his last teaching section in the Gospel of Matthew, immediately after the tribulation in those days. This is why they don't want you to compare Matthew 24 to 1 Thessalonians 4, because it's not saying pre-tribulation, it says after the tribulation, immediately after the tribulation in those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, that's Jesus, and then all tribes of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming. That word coming is parousia, the exact same word that we find in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 for the coming of the Lord. So it's not secret. They will see the Son of Man, his parousia, his kingly entrance back into this world and invading time. He'll come in the clouds of heaven with great power and glory, verse 31, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the one end of heaven to the other. Now, a great way to interpret scripture is do what we've tried to do. You look at the immediate context, which I told the dive bomb process of interpretation when regarding the rapture. You just zero in right on 1 Thessalonians 4:17. You ignore the two verses before that, and you can concoct any theory you want, because being caught up doesn't define exactly the overall context is what is going on. So you look at the immediate context, but also using scripture to interpret scripture. And unfortunately, the pre-tribulation view teachers tell you to ignore certain scriptures. Well, I would say you should ignore their voices. When somebody tells you to ignore a scripture, you should turn there and study it immediately, because it might be something life-changing. And if you change your view on what's going to happen during the tribulation for Christians, it sobers you up, it gives you a different worldview, and hopefully it'll strengthen you for any times that we may face in the times ahead. Now, I'm just going to ask the question, did I just concoct this? this is just something I cranked up in the last year or so and presenting it to you. And no, not at all. Let me give you the words of St. Augustine in the City of God, Book 20. And he was writing this about, he finished the City of God in 426 A.D. Okay, the pre-trib rapture theory began about the 1820s, 1830s, around then. So it was almost 2,000 years, two millennium, until the rapture theory came into history. This is from 400s, okay? This is the words of St. Augustine. For the words, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, this is referencing 1 Thessalonians 4, are not to be understood as if he meant that we shall always remain in the air with the Lord, for he himself shall not remain there, but shall only pass through as he comes. For we shall go out to meet him as he comes, and not where he remains. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Reference back that second diagram I showed you. Christ comes straight down. The believers go out to meet him in the process of that. And that simultaneous view, they come back to earth together. And that was in 426 or before. Here's another one from St. Chrysostom. Probably the greatest preacher that there's ever been in the Christian church. He's venerated in Eastern Orthodox Church, a Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, and Lutheran churches. He memorized the entire Bible, and Greek was his native language. So he knew what parousia meant before he had to go do any formal Greek studies. And just a simple sentence, which he says, regarding his homily on 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17. If he is about to descend, on what account shall we be caught up? For the sake of honor, when a king drives into a city and those who are in honor go out to meet him. This is a simple theory. There's one second coming, not two second comings, one 7 years before the second coming, but one second coming, one rapture, one being caught up, one resurrection of the dead. And if you want a real succinct summary of this, Catechism of the Catholic Church paragraph or section 1001 says, when do the dead rise? Definitely at the last day, at the end of the world. Indeed, the resurrection of the dead is closely associated with Christ's parousia. And then the Catechism of the Catholic Church quotes 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That's the Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1001. And if you study any biblical prophecy, the eschatological sections of the Catechism, be sure to look at the footnotes, because the footnotes are saying this scripture is inspiring this statement, which is about as simple as it gets, what we're talking about in 1 Thessalonians 4. So again, I'd like to remind you that Luke 21 is coming very soon. We're working hard, but we should have study guides, resource materials, book recommendations, handouts, and diagrams, and all the rest. I invite you to just be aware that's on its way. And thanks for joining me on Luke 21.
Luke 21 is a radio outreach of Family Life Center International. Visit us online at luke21.com.